Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. And Dana, I want to focus a bit more on the U.S. equity markets in this segment as the markets are up again today. Had a little bit of a pullback kind of midday, just all of a sudden dropped about 100 points on the Dow, even over 100 points on the Dow, but then pretty quickly recovered. Overall, we have the Dow, NASDAQ, S&P, all up, let's say around 0.5%. But I think the more important thing to note here is some of what's going on inside of these markets. They have bounced over the last about 2.5 weeks. But when it comes to rotation, it's not just the high-flying tech stocks that are leading this higher. Let's start with the rotation aspect. What's some of your research showing you?
Yeah, sure, Corey. I think we started maybe middle of August or so. We started getting some breath concerns. As you mentioned, it was mostly the high flying tech stocks and the large caps and a few areas here and there, healthcare, that was leading the market higher. But we had some serious divergences in terms of breadth into even into those new highs. So we were concerned about either a short-term top or some vulnerability after that. And we got that into September. But we didn't see, most of the market held up generally well. We wrung some risk out of the market, certainly from what we saw towards the end of August. But held up generally well. And like you mentioned, now we're seeing actually the opposite. We're seeing a strengthening of breadth measures. We're seeing a strengthening in the charts of many of the broad averages, many of the small and mid-cap averages. So those were generally the laggards in the market. Now we're seeing those bounce back and be more participating in the rally and more supportive. And on top of that, we're seeing other sectors now starting to take part in the rally and become some of the relative strength leaders, in addition to the healthcare and the technology stocks that were leaders. Now we're seeing stuff like home builders, materials, transports, even on top of the broader and smaller cap measures. So the more areas, the more sectors, the more participants in the rally, obviously the stronger. And that's one of the tenets of our risk models, really, is the stronger the breadth, the more reliable a market move, and the more aggressive we can be in it. So I'd say over the last several weeks, we've seen a lot of, at least especially over the last week, we've seen a lot of positive developments in terms of the underlying foundation of this market.
So when it comes to some of these sectors that money has rotated into, you mentioned home builders, materials, transports, do you think that there's still more room to run, even though we've had, let's say, a little over a week of this rotation?
One of the constructive things about many of these moves, you've seen the transports and materials rally right up to their highs finally in and some of the smaller cap measures rally back to the highs that we saw back in the spring or last year or even 2018. Just hitting those levels now we're going to see some consolidation around these levels. And once they break out, if and when they break out, then you're going to see a significant potential for further upside, as perhaps even a substantial new upleg higher in some of these areas. So I would say don't chase them necessarily right here. Wait for that type of a further consolidation over the next several weeks, perhaps. But then you're going to have, we're seeing, significant potential for upside in these areas. So look at one area in particular, small cap growth and mid cap growth are both breaking out to all time highs, above the spring highs, above the 2018 highs. So there is substantial potential there. I would love to see it pull back, test that breakout level, and consolidate a little bit. But you're seeing certainly a substantial potential for further highs. We're seeing like home builders have busted out to new highs, and something like clean energy, which not generally on our radar, but we'll go to whatever's working, and that's been just skyrocketing to new highs, at least multi-year highs after breaking out above the spring highs a couple weeks ago. So you're seeing a lot of new potential targets, new potential setups for longs out there, and they, like you said, they it doesn't look like those runs have run their course, so to speak, but it looks like perhaps after some more backing and filling, they look like they have further potential.
Yeah, on top of clean energy, look at solar energy too. That ETF or those ETFs have just skyrocketed along with the clean energy ETFs. Dana, as positive as this all sounds for the markets to, let's say, continue this rebound and even run back to all-time highs, we look at something like volatility or the VIX, and that's remaining generally higher. The VIX spiked during the whole March washout, and it has come down significantly from a high of the VIX of 85. But remember those days when the VIX was hanging under the teens, even dipping into single digits? We still have the VIX in the mid to high 20s. So that is still showing that there's a little bit of fear, a little bit of worry in these markets.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the flies in the ointment, and one persistent headwind, I think, in terms of the stock market that will prevent things from running away, just blasting off and running on a sustainable new run at the moment, is the fact that volatility indices have held up pretty well above support levels, have remained buoyant. So that's going to be a headwind in the near term for stocks, and one clue, it's typically when you get divergences like that, the volatility markets are generally end up being the smart money. So in that vein, we don't expect stocks to run away immediately, but if what I think a lot of the immediate buoyancy in the volatility has to do with the election. So the most buoyant area of the volatility curve is in that 1 month duration. So if you look at the VIX, the VIX specifically is a 1 month contract. So that's looking out a month, where which is about the length of time we have until the election. So that remains buoyant. So a lot of that buoyancy, again, perhaps has to do with the election, the uncertainty surrounding the election. So I would expect a lot of the headwind and a lot of the volatility for the equity markets to continue over the next month. So I think you'll get that backing and filling, the consolidation that I was talking about, and probably some good entry points, some good setups for your long positions over the next month. So I wouldn't be chasing things higher necessarily. I think you'll get better setups. But once we get that election over with, I think you'll see perhaps volatility start to evaporate and start to see maybe more sustainable run higher in the stock market.
So, Dana, when we take a step back and realize that these markets most likely will remain choppy and will also remain headline driven. You and I were talking off mic about when headlines move markets. For example, this week when Trump announced that he is cutting off negotiations with the Democrats regarding a spending bill, the markets immediately reacted to the downside, but then also pretty quickly recovered. I know it's hard for not active traders to jump on these moves, but how do you treat some of these headline driven moves in this general environment where we are going to be choppy at least through the election?
Right. Like we've talked about this on several occasions in the past, but we remain quantitative, objectively driven. So we'll go where the statistics tell us, not where necessarily, and where the data tells us, not necessarily where the news is leading the market, not necessarily where the headline or the noise is sending the market. So the markets are going to go where they're going to go despite the headline. So our advice is always to follow the data, follow the signals in the market, ignore the news headlines, ignore the noise, and keep focused on, you know, on the hard quantitative objective data that's coming from the markets. And A, I would say, like we spoke about, at worst, ignore the news headlines, but at best, use it to your advantage. So if you're, like we spoke about, if you're following a stock, like, for example, the other day before the Trump headline, stocks had just broken out of consolidation. There were some hedges that we wanted to get out of. There are some new relative strength positions that we wanted to get into but didn't want to chase. The Trump headline comes out, stocks sell off, the Dow lost like 400 points in like 15 minutes, and voila, that was a gift for us. Covered some of our hedges, added some new long positions, and it was a gift, and we bounced back immediately. So use it to your advantage. I know a lot of people aren't necessarily glued to their computers like we would be during market hours. So for those people, I would say generally just ignore the noise, follow the signals, follow the quantitative data. But if you are trading, day trading or trading actively, and you get a news or headline inspired move, use it to your advantage. It's almost always going to be a fade after a near term move. And another example is a week ago with Trump, the Trump diagnosis. When he got diagnosed with COVID, went to the hospital, saw a quick sell-off, but again, not even that lasted. So fade the headlines if you get an opportunity. If you don't, if you're not glued to your computer, do your best to just ignore the headlines, ignore that the news events, which you will probably get a lot of over the next month, and stick to your game plan, stick to the objective data.
All right, Dana, always great chatting with you. I'll post a link to your website and also for people to follow you on Twitter, because every day, multiple times a day, you post some very interesting charts and general market commentary. I appreciate you spending some time on our show to hear Dana. We'll chat again in another couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, Corey.